Working retail can be an exhausting experience. Between impatient customers and management that has no business being in management, the battle sometimes never ends. Today, retail nightmare stories on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll-free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
And it is, and yes, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Write in at officehorrorstories.com. We would love to hear your office horror story. And my God, there are a lot of them out there. It's Tony and Carol Hughes joining you, and yeah, it's an interesting day. We got some interesting news as we were doing the show today of a company that laying off a ton of people that we know some of. But what was most interesting about this is the terminology.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Tony, they didn't lay off anybody. No. It was employee dislocation.
Employee dislocation.
So the employees were just dislocated, which I never had heard dislocation move used like that, because usually it's like your arm is dislocated. It's not a person is not dislocated.
Yeah. It's
you'll be lost. I don't know. For firing somebody or a massive layoff, I've never heard employee dislocation.
I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah. They all got an enhanced severance package. And I'm like, what, with one extra day of pay?
To the nation's
I have no idea what what exactly that would be to get the enhanced severance package. One of my favorite lines in it, though, was because this whole, you know, companies, when they do massive layoffs, they put out a press statement.
I guess it sounds better that we just dislocated employees. It sounds like you broke them. But,
yeah.
But they can't. They don't really want to come out and say massive layoff.
No, but
we can read it.
Yes.
Like, that's what you did.
It doesn't make any sense. When companies do things like that and they make these statements, because sometimes it just gets to the ridiculous. One of the terms that was used in here was the consolidation will create centers of excellence using artificial intelligence and other technology.
As you said earlier,
the fuck is that?
Totally Scientology.
It's like, oh my God, like they are one step away from like telling us that. And once you've been with a company for more than 3 months, which will be a new record for employment there, you'll meet Xenu. And
exactly.
And you'll go to the volcano.
You'll go to the Center for Excellence it's like, for 3 days.
Oh,
for intensive excellence training.
It's getting to be that way. They're going to be like, because radio is getting so sparse with people. People start paying to work in radio, and then you'll have to pay to take these radio courses, and then eventually you'll work your way up the ladder, and you'll get to meet Xenu or something.
But you never really get up
there. No. At the center.
You never really make it CEO.
That's how they can maybe make some money, because this company that we're talking about is failing pretty bad, and they're desperately in debt. Maybe that's how they turn it around. Become a religion. That's the path. Tax exemption, that worked for them. This could work for I think this company.
And I think that if I worked for a massively large company that was laying people off, and it happens all the time, I don't want the BS part.
Yeah.
Like, just tell me we're restructuring or whatever it is. But it's the BS part, like employee dislocation. And even at the end of it, it said, but, you know, they basically made him feel better, because that isn't what they said. But it was like, we let them all know that their contributions were greatly appreciated. Like, oh yeah, as we kick your ass out the door, that feels a lot better.
Everyone's
feeling. Well, at least they greatly appreciated me.
I don't know.
Actually, I've seen people online who were affected and terminated today, and they're like, I've got no hard feelings. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I would be full of hard feelings.
I'm not good at that.
And unemployed.
Especially when you don't see it coming, and it's just kind of like out of nowhere, like boom, you're gone. this seems kind of bullshitty to me, you know, that you're doing this. But yeah, such is the way of these companies.
Like you just got promoted and boom, yeah. They fire you.
Well, it shows how internally screwed up a company is where you can actively promote people and then get people on a path. And then 3 days later, the higher ups in a totally different part of the country go, everybody's gone because nobody's communicating. It's like just how poorly the efforts are used and how poorly organized things are and structured within a company like that.
Because that could have been prevented. Yeah. Just do a hiring freeze.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ways.
Just say, we're not promoting anybody right now, whatever line of BS, because they're obviously very good at that.
Yeah.
But whatever line of BS you want to give people about why you're not promoting or hiring, there's a freeze. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But it's as if, you know, these people are just in this corporate office. And they've created this whole kind of branch of a Scientology thing.
It's a center for excellence. It is not a corporate office. It's a center for excellence.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Run by robots.
Yeah, you're not any more in tune to actual people. That's what bugs me. It's like these are people with families and mortgages and car payments. No. You know? Just bugs me.
I know. It's craziness. And I mean, I guess I can't say I'm super surprised by more layoffs, but I am surprised by the terminology. And I don't know why, because it reached a new low in corporate bullshit when I read that.
Employee dislocation. It's
like we really went to the thesaurus for this one, didn't we? It's like, we want to call it something. If we call it this, everyone's going to think it's wonderful. It's like, what the
And then there's that one guy or girl who was like, I've got it. Employee dislocation, and everybody in the room's like, I think that's pretty good. That's great.
You get the parking spot.
Now you're fired. Dislocate yourself right on out the door.
But do I get to keep the parking spot for the month? It's still yours. You don't work here, but you can park by the door. So congratulations.
Right. Yeah. As you load all your stuff out.
Thanks for being here for a week. Yeah. Gotta love that.
Weird.
833-HATE-JOB is our number if you'd like to share your office horror story with us. Maybe you'd like to share your office horror story from that company. Maybe you've been an employee that's been dislocated and you'd like to unload a little bit because you don't have a microphone at that place anymore. Well, my mic is open to you. 833-HATE-JOB to come on and share some lovely stories with us here at Office Horror Stories. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, as a cashier, I encountered all kinds of rude customers and awkward moments with strangers who are just plain rude with no common sense or respect for others. I have customers from old to young because it's a family store. I've been working with the company for more than 5 years, and recently there was a customer with 3 kids and carrying a baby in her arms while she walked around. So keep in mind, her hands are full, but why would someone want to shop if your hands are full? How are you going to carry or buy things? Anyway, I go about my day doing my usual tasks like cleaning the dressing room, hanging up clothes, and folding the clothes on the table. Then suddenly, as I'm walking around, I smell a very foul odor coming from somewhere nearby. I walk around and see a child sitting on the ground, a dirty diaper, and he was making a mess all over the floor. It was terrifying and just downright wrong. I felt so bad for the child because the mother didn't have a care in the world. She just picked him up, left the diaper, and said, oh, sorry, I didn't realize he was dirty. Like, what? I understand your hands are full, but seriously, how does someone in their mind, their right mind, think it's okay to leave their house like that? My thoughts were all over the place. I called the manager and explained the situation. We then grabbed some supplies and gloves to clean up. One of the managers had said, this is nothing compared to what happened the other day. It was a kid, not a grown adult. It wasn't a kid. It was a grown adult. She then went on to say that a few months back, there was a man who had came in and he pooped in one of the aisles. He didn't ask for the bathroom, which he just didn't ask. He just went somewhere and dumped on the floor. All I can say is that I'm so glad I wasn't there that day. I feel like maybe people are just losing their common sense and respect for others. I do hope that more people out there and have a lot of respect and common courtesy for others won't be pooping on the floor anytime soon. What the hell?
Okay, so I am going to go so far as to say, I think there was something wrong with the adult who pooped on the floor.
Was there?
Because I don't think a regular person, a more mentally stable person,
yeah,
would go inside and poop on the floor someplace.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, that's so disgusting. And the kids doing that, that bugs me because it's like, you have parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think these poor kids don't have a chance. So that bugs me with a mother like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just makes me think, as disgusting as it would be to have to clean up, that person, the adult, wasn't in his or her right mind.
You would think that they couldn't be. I mean, if that's what you're going to do, I don't think anybody in their right mind would be able to do that.
Because even if, like, I can't hold it and there's someone in the bathroom, wouldn't you run outside?
But we've been hearing a lot of stories lately of this happening. And it's not just children, where adults are going into essentially businesses and just pooping. And a lot of areas where there's a lot of displaced people, so to speak, I guess would be the nice way of putting it. Since we're speaking in corporate terms, where, and it's not certainly everyone, but we see a lot of that, especially in California. I've been hearing a lot of stories, places like LA and such, and San Francisco, where they're having huge issues with tent cities and things like that. And stores just trying to keep people going into them because there's people camping out literally on their doorstep and shitting. We're on their doorstep, literally. And then sometimes into the store. So I don't know what the hell that is.
I would think some of that too would be addiction issues, like alcohol and drugs.
You'd have to. I mean, because it's like, even if you're in that situation, I don't think it ever runs through someone's mind who is not under the influence of something to be like, I'm going to go shit at the Kmart, you know, or in the, you know, health and beauty section. Like, no, I'll go to the Kmart bathroom. Sure. But I don't think it's let's go down aisle 5. I don't know. That's just,
I remember once when I was like young, probably 20, and I was at my friend's house, and it was like a bunch of college guys lived in this house. And so it was a party nonstop. And so one guy got really drunk and he'd passed out. He'd been passed out for hours. And so everybody else is still drinking. And he gets up and he walks into the living room and we're like, whoa, we didn't think we'd see you again tonight. And he was kind of like a zombie. Like, he wasn't even looking at anybody. And we're all talking to him. He just walked to the corner and peed and went back to bed.
Oh, my God.
Like, what the hell? And there was no stopping him. It's just like, he just did it right in front of everybody.
Wow.
I had no idea he did it.
That is extremely bizarre.
Yeah. See, that's what alcohol will do.
True.
But, and he didn't even know the next day he had done it.
Wow.
He's like, no, I didn't. No, you did.
What exactly is triggering there that goes, this is a good idea? I don't know.
I just think he was just blacked out and had no idea. And he was sleeping, woke up, he had to go to the bathroom. And I think he thought he was in the bathroom. But he actually was right in the living room in front of a bunch of people.
Wow.
It was very strange.
Can't say I've ever been that far gone where that was the...
But I do think that could be a contributing factor.
Yeah, I would think that'd be a part of it. 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story with us. Let's go over here. It says, at one job, I came in as a temp. I was told that they're not going to hire me. I was there to help to process invoices. After like 2 weeks, the other full-time employees cornered me in the break room to tell me I needed to slow down and was making them look bad as the temp. The next week, 2 full-time and 1 temp to hire employees were let go, and I was hired full-time. So I guess I was making them look pretty bad. Ended up leaving the job after 5.5 years, cut an affair, was exposed, and I was the only one who knew about it. Come to later find out the guy of the affair told another woman who told certain people. My group of friends and coworkers wouldn't talk to me because they thought I had told. I felt so uncomfortable for my friends. They lost trust. After the truth was exposed, it was too late. feeling the damage. Another part of that, I'm a very positive person, very happy and bubbly. At the next job after the first one, the company was implementing a new software for the accounts payable department. The lady I worked with was promised a managerial position to go to Finland and learn some new systems. When they got back, I learned the new system so fast, I got the managerial position. I know I shouldn't have taken it, but it came with a raise and I was a single mom. Anyway, after a month in, the boss lady called me in her office to tell me my positive attitude was making the others uncomfortable. Please tone it down. She signed me up to How to Be a Better Manager seminar. Finland felt the U.S. AP department wasn't necessary, and it got dismantled. Also, I was fired on September for asking for my boss's office that he wasn't using and for letting my boss, who was also over HR, know that the questionnaire that was sent around for everyone to fill out went against HIPAA laws. They were asking what illnesses we had, what medication we take, and how often we go to the doctor, with the stipulation that if we didn't fill out the form, they would drop us on the insurance policy. I had a great review earlier that month, but got fired the following Monday, according to my boss, for insubordination and or undermining authority. I filed for unemployment and got it, so poo on them. What a lovely job I had. So lots of interesting things there. Lots of points that...
And she just pooped on him.
That's the way to get back. Yeah.
Right.
And so I pooped on his desk.
I've never heard of that. Like, your attitude is too good. And you are bringing other people down because your attitude's too good. Like, what?
Yeah. You know, I think that's a thing. In some places, because it'll just end up getting people rallied against you of like, well, what's wrong with that person? They're outshining the others, and people don't like to be outshone.
Yeah. She's doing too good of a job. We're taking her down.
And then, and then sometimes when management is also kind of in that same boat of, well, we're kind of content with being average. And sometimes you just have that where the whole flock, the manager and all, they're all just kind of flying under the radar of the next department above them. And as long as nobody's rocking the boat, nobody's doing too good a job, nobody's doing a bad job, they're toeing the line, and that's it. Don't expect any more. Don't expect any less. The last thing they want is someone who's going to really stand out, because that's going to rock the boat. That's going to make it like, well, they can do it this good. You could do it. And then it changes everything. So they want that
person. That's very true.
I've had that in radio over the years. A long time ago, I remember being at a station where everyone on the air was very just blah, very blah. There was no personality. And this is back when personality, was more prevalent on radio. But I liked doing really funny interactive shows, phone calls, things of that nature. And I was told really just to completely tone down everything. Like, just say the name of the artist and then, weather's coming up next. I'm like, what? And that's what I did. I left shortly thereafter.
Because you were bored to death.
I was. It was horrible. I mean, that's not what I wanted to do. But that's essentially the exact same thing. It's be average, because we don't want to stand out or have anything rock the boat. And if one person is standing out, it's going to make the rest of us look like shit. So that's, it's kind of what you got to do sometimes. But it was, it was like one of my first, it was like working at a main station. I had a part-time job on the side, and that's where I was told it was at the part-time job, because I think I was outperforming most of the full-time regular people with my weekend show, with like just the content. And it was like, don't do that anymore. So
it's like, you're having fun, and we don't do that here.
Yeah, don't like that. It sounds too compelling and interesting, and we're not in the business of being compelling or interesting. So, yeah, it's like
one might think, but we're not.
Yeah, that's a thing. It is a thing in any company, no matter what it is you do. You don't want to rock.
I hope that person found a job where they appreciate her.
I do too. I do too. Let's go to our next one. This one says, so this happened last year around Christmas time, but I just found out about it, and I thought I would share. I was working the till, and it was only about 3 weeks into me working in the store, a big discount department store. I was just coming up to the end of my shift when a customer and older lady, not very friendly, but also not terrible, at least not at the start, came up to the till with a basket. She got a pair of trousers for $9.99 and some other items, and her total came up to roughly $35.04. She gave me $35.05 and waited for her receipt. I gave it to her and her penny and change, which seemed to trigger her. This is how it went. Customer saying, "Why are you giving me a penny back? I gave you exact change." "Oh, no, you gave me $35.05 when the total was $35.04, so that's your change, miss." "No, it's not. The total is $35.05. You must have done something wrong. I counted." I don't know what to say, miss. I'll show you everything on the receipt, right? "I know my total. You did something wrong. You're going to get me in trouble. I want a refund." "I can't process a refund here. I'm not trained to do so. Let me just show you the receipt and you give me a refund now. You messed up. You can't do anything. You can do anything if you really want to." At this point, I was getting really stressed. The customer was shouting at me and kept telling me I did something wrong. And at this point, I was very iffy about calling the manager on anything. I had another customer, bless her soul, waiting in queue, but she was later being served by another employee. I managed to get her to stop shouting at me just so I could show her the receipt and pointed out that the trousers are $9.99. Customer saying, "Oh, I thought they were just $10. That's fine." And just walked away with her stuff. So, there you go. That's craziness.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so hard. Oh, that's it.
That's fine.
I thought they were $10.
You're right. I'm just going to walk away now and not act like I've been a complete idiot.
Who
does
that? Like in her head, she'd added it up and added the tax in and everything. And it's like, no, I'm right.
Well, it almost sounds like that's one of a refund hunter. This, the way that she went directly to refund right away and was kind of hell bent on, "I want a refund right now." You know, that really kind of shows, oh, there's, you know, you're just kind of making shit up right now to get down that road.
Well, it's like, fine, you can have a refund. Give us all that crap back that you just supposedly bought. Like, usually they do some kind of scammy thing. Like, they bring in a receipt and then they go find it on the shelf and say, "I bought this."
Yeah.
But that's just weird.
Yeah. I think in this case it was.
It's like she was more mad about not being right and how much she charged her.
And I don't get that. But I think some people have it in their mind that if the store in some way makes the customer upset, they are entitled to something for free. And I don't know.
Oh, so I keep all my $35 worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But because you were,
get the money back.
You were a penny off. You were actually trying to give me money. And because of that, I should get something for free is, I guess, the thought process, which makes no sense whatsoever. So,
Lord.
833-HATE-JOB is our number to share your office horror stories with us. Let's go over to a caller. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi. I just need to let it all out. I've been on mandatory overtime at my job for almost 2 months in a row, 50-hour work weeks. Normally, we get 40 hours a week, and we get Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. And it's just starting to drive me bananas. And I've been working my tail off. And I think everybody is kind of feeling the effects at the job. And today, I strive to be a good worker and do what I need to, you know. And I was just standing, talking for a little bit. And my boss is second in command, if you will. Just out of nowhere, comes up to me and he's like, "Let's go back to work." And I'm like, okay, I will. And then it tore me down. Like, you know, I guess it kind of busted my self-esteem a little bit. But on another note, I work with welders, and I try to create material for another welder. And this welder has plenty of items in stock. You know, and needless to say, they're ahead of me. And I'm trying to keep up with the welder to keep providing more material for them to weld. But I'll make two pieces of material. I'll set them down. And by the time I'm finished making the next two, the last two that I put down previously are already gone. So the welder's moving faster than me, running around circles around me. So I can't keep up. And on top of this, they want me to make enough for them so they'll have something to do so I can stop doing the size I'm doing and jump to the other size. And this person, this welder, has plenty of material welded, and I'm thinking, really? Can't we just kind of, because it goes out, I'm messing this up, I'm sorry. But basically, they're far ahead that if they need to fall back on some of their stock and let it dwindle down a little bit, they can. But I can't because my material keeps running out as quick as I make it. And I just feel like it's a circus, and it's not fair to me. And another thing, this week, they wanted me to bend two different sizes. I'm a fabricator. If I'm messing this up, I'm sorry. But pretty much, basically, I was supposed to make two different material pieces for two different welders at the same time and make sure both of them didn't run out. And it was just really stressful for me. But I hope to hear this on the podcast, and I'm looking forward to the podcast coming out. But take it easy. Thank you.
Sounds like he's just really stressed out.
But I get that. And like in his situation, it sounds like there should be someone else working with him.
Mm-hmm.
But because everybody's on mandatory overtime, they're obviously not hiring more people.
Sure.
And I get that. You know, when he said, like, get back to work thing, and sometimes you feel like you give them everything you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm taking a minute for me here. And you can't even do that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't feel appreciated.
Yeah, it's just those little things where it's like, I just kind of want to, you know, just take a break, get my mind together, and then you're going to be more productive if you're in a good mindset, not just, you know, going and never stopping. And sometimes you need that, especially when it comes to like manual labor and things of that nature.
I don't know anything about welding or fabricating, but I do know that it would be so frustrating if you're working 10-hour days and for 10 hours a day, you can't keep up.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, that would be exhausting.
Yeah.
And you got to go do it the next day.
And you're just always feeling, I'm not doing good enough, even though you're doing really as best as a human being can.
Yeah. No. I just want to give him a hug.
I hope that his call made him feel a little bit better, just kind of letting it all out. That's what we're here for.
I get it.
833-HATE-JOB is our number. Or, of course, you can also write in at officehorrorstories.com to share your office horror story with us. That's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.